I feel weird standing up on the stage. I feel like I'm in another country talking to you guys when I'm up there. So, amen. Good morning, church. It's good to see you guys. Can we give it up for our students? Killing it so far. Derek and Camille taking us to the cross. Camille, thank you so much for sharing your story, being vulnerable with us. This ministry is amazing. I feel blessed to be a part of it, to lead it. And it hasn't been long that I've been leading it. It was just a year ago I was a student in it. But we are really excited about Campus Sunday this morning. As most of you guys know, it's going on in each county group this morning. In the West, they're having a good time, and in the East as well. And so we're really excited to bring the word of God to you guys. We're doing a theme right now in the campus ministry. It's called Anchored. And so every midweek has been anchored in blank, right? So we've talked about being anchored in grace, anchored in humility. And really the goal has been that we want to get anchored in Jesus, amen, and in his word. And so that's what we've been focusing on. And it's been really helping our ministry a lot, the disciples as well, the friends that we're bringing out. And so this morning we're going to kind of share that theme with you guys. But at the same time, we know that in the North, we're kind of doing a series that's talking about balance, kind of these paradoxes of Jesus' teachings in Scripture. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about faith in action. So the title of our message is Anchored by Faith in Action. Amen? You can be turning in your Bibles over to Mark chapter 11. I don't know why this is, but anytime I preach on Sundays, I always end up in the book of Mark, and I keep thinking, like, are people catching on to this? That I'm really not doing this on purpose. But so turn over to Mark chapter 11. Before we dive in here, let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful, God, for your example of faith, God. As we look at the life of Jesus, we just see a man of faith. No matter what the circumstance was, that he was faithful to you, God. We pray that this morning we would be able to learn from him, that we would learn from your word, God, that we would open up our hearts and humble our hearts to see what it is your Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us this morning, God. We know that your Spirit only leads us to truth, and so we pray for truth this morning. We pray that this sermon and this time in your word will bring unity and help us grow in our faith. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we really have just two simple points for you guys today. You guys want to hear them?
Yeah.
2 points. First one, faith in him. Point number two is action for him.
Amen.
Faith in him, action for him. You know, today our goal is to really stoke your faith and inspire you to step out on faith.
Amen.
To give you a vision for what God wants to do through you. You know, Hebrews 11, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right?
This is really important to talk about. And so, because the Bible says that, it's good for us to take some time every once in a while to evaluate our faith, to see how we're doing in our faith in God.
Yeah.
And to ask ourselves, man, do I really believe that everything is possible for him who believes, right? That there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And so we're going to read this passage here in Mark chapter 11, where we see Jesus teach us about faith. We're going to pick up here in verse 20. It says, in the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. Amen. You know, this passage starts off with the disciples witnessing Jesus causing a fig tree to wither that he cursed the day before. I don't know about you, but that's enough for me for a long time to get my faith built, to see a man curse a tree and make it wither. And so this is kind of a moment. This fig tree is a physical example for the disciples of the power of God.
Right.
And so Jesus uses this opportunity to teach them about faith. Right? This becomes a lesson that Jesus becomes intentional about. But the first thing he says in verse 22 is, have faith in how awesome you are. No, he doesn't say that. It says, have faith in God, in Jesus, in him. And that's how Jesus answered. It says, and Jesus answered, have faith in God.
Right.
He's trying to point them to the Father. And in verse 23... I love this. I mean, it's challenging to even believe, but he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. That's faith building. And Jesus, he's saying that, man, if you really believe that this will happen, then I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to come through. But in order for him to come through, he's saying, you got to really have faith, not in yourself, but me. Not in your circumstance or what's going on, but just put your faith in me. You know, verse 24, it really, I don't know about you, but it really challenges me to believe that that is true, what Jesus is saying here in verse 24. It says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it'll be yours. I mean, doesn't that just sound awesome, right? It's like, I need to do that every time I pray. Like, let me figure out how to do that. But it can be hard to believe because sometimes we pray these prayers and we're like, God, I don't see you answering that.
Right.
Or at least the way we want him to, right? But Jesus, he gives us some clear advice here on how to pray with faith. And he says, you should believe that you've already received it. You know, and I've had to work on praying this way, and it's hard, but really phrasing your prayers in a way like, God, thank you that this is going to happen. Or really, hey, God, thank you that this week I'm going to have a breakthrough talk with this brother. Amen. Right? And it kind of forces you to be more faithful in your prayers. Because the way you're praying is more faithful in itself, right? God, thank you that this family member is going to want to know you, right? You're kind of getting yourself to a place in your prayer that, God, you can do anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so every time I read this passage, I ask myself, and I say to myself, man, this is the power that I want to tap into
right. In
my prayer life. I don't want to miss out on that, right? I mean, do you guys want to miss out on this kind of prayer life, on this kind of faith? This is incredible. You know, if we're being honest, it's hard to have this kind of faith. It's hard to have this kind of faith. It's hard to believe the words that Jesus says sometimes. And as I was thinking about what stops us from having faith in him, I thought of kind of three main faith blockers, three things that can stop us from having faith in him. And I think we really need to talk about what these are this morning. So the question is, what are reasons why we don't believe that God can do anything? What are those reasons? And there's many reasons, but I think that I kind of tried to boil it down so we weren't here for 2 hours talking through all the reasons, but I boiled it down to three. One is the past, our past. We let the past define our faith. The second one is we've just never seen it done before.
Right.
We're praying a prayer, but we've never seen it with our own eyes. And so we have a hard time being faithful. And the third one is really our faith isn't solely in him. Meaning we're too attached to our prayers. We're attaching our power, our experience, our talents, rather than just solely relying on God. That's why we cannot have faith in him, because really it's not in him, it's him and us. And we don't make it about what can God do. So we're going to kind of go through these, break these down, because we got to defeat these things to have great faith. Amen? So we're going to talk through kind of these faith blockers and see how we can overcome them. That sound good? So Hannah's going to come up and kind of help us talk through these and share about what's helped her to overcome these, as well as just kind of relating to the scripture here. So give it up for Hannah.
Okay, so when we first read that scripture together, Mark and I, when we were reading Mark 11, I thought about all the times that this scripture came to my mind, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, I'd love to say that all the times that this scripture comes to mind is when I'm praying faithfully that God is going to move all the mountains in my life, and that I'm so faithful that it's going to happen. And yes, sometimes that's true, but more often than not, it comes to my mind when I'm doubting, and I'm thinking, can God really do anything? And I think of it more when I doubt that God can answer my prayers because I can't fully see all the steps to get there because I've never seen it happen in my life before, so how are we going to do this? Or when I'm faced with a situation that I've faced before and it didn't go how I wanted, or when I start to put God in the box of my own abilities. And I'm reminded of this scripture when I'm praying about something and I stop and I'm like, Hannah, what? Like, you just said that, but did you really believe anything you just said? And I have to go back and figure out, why am I not buying into this? Why am I saying these things? Why do I want these things to happen? But why don't I think God can do it? And I'm too busy being blocked by those three things that Mark mentioned. And the first one, the past. I think when I'm having those struggle bus prayers and I can't get on board with it and I'm like, what's going on? I can't get myself to believe this. Sometimes it's past failures or past hurts or past no's from God, and it's really clouding my faith, and I can't believe that God can do anything. And I think it's just good to remember, like, what are those things that have happened in the past? Like, we have to face them. We have to think about, okay, yeah, these things did happen, but why is it hindering my faith, and how can I overcome that? And when I think of God or me never seeing things done before in my life, I can think I've been around for a while, been a Christian for a while, but I really haven't. Like, when we think about it, I've been a Christian for 6 years, and one of the huge faith blockers for me has been praying for my family. And I've been praying for years. I can think years, like it's almost maybe close to a third of my life. I don't know. No, fourth. But yeah, I've been praying for my family to become Christians, and it's easier for me to pray for things that I've seen done before. Like, I haven't seen my parents become Christians. How can I get on board with this? Like, I don't see how you're going to do this. But I think it's easy for me to pray things and have faith in things that happen every day. Like, God, please help Kyrie feel better and for this tea to help his throat. I can pray about that because I pray about that and I see it happen all the time. Or, God, please help Shauna be patient with that person. Like, I can pray about that because I've seen it done and God makes her patient. Or Mark, he's got his food allergies going on and I'm like, God, please help this food not to, like, make Mark sick. Like, I can see that and I can really believe, and I think God answers those prayers because I fully believe they're going to happen, you know? And so it's like, was that really a mountain? Not so much. And so these things that I can't fully get on board with in the moment and have faith is because I've just never seen it done before. And and I think about when I ask God, please help my dad see his need for you, or please help my mom want to study the Bible with the women at church. And I stop and I'm like, wait, how's that going to happen, God? Haven't seen that yet. Are you sure you can move this mountain? And it's hard, and this is so natural for my mind to go, and it's hindering my faith. And we have to face those things.
Right.
So I don't know what those things are for you, but I think it's important for us to realize that it is blocking our faith. Yeah. And this last blocker, that our faith isn't solely in him, I don't really struggle with that. I don't rely on myself, and I don't put my faith in the abilities of other people, so I'm just going to let Mark share about that. But I'm obviously kidding. And this is actually one of the biggest blockers in my faith. I have been an athlete my whole life, and I've always put my faith in how I've performed in the past. And I think that is important to see, like, what you've done and how you've done it before, but we just can't put our faith in that. And I try to rely so much on what I'm capable of, and so when I'm asking God to move mountains, I can't have faith because I'm too busy focusing on the fact that I'm not going to say the right words, or how am I going to have enough time to get all this stuff done and get all these Bible studies and see this girl become a Christian, or how can I do this if I'm not going to look good enough, or if people aren't going to think of me a certain way. And it shows that my faith is in what I can bring to the table rather than who God is and what the scriptures say.
Yeah.
And so when I think about all these things that are just so normal to like pop in my head, I have to really bring it back to that scripture in Mark 11 that I have to have faith and I have to get rid of all these hindrances. But I don't know if you guys can relate, but I think it's important for us to reflect on the hindrances that we have that are blocking our faith.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. She was sounding prideful there for a second. She was like, I'm not sure. I was like, okay, this is the humor that we need here. But you know, this is real, right? I mean, we all have things that we can relate to what Hannah's sharing about. And I think it's important for us to not try to fake it or put up a front, but no, I have things that really stop me from believing. But again, I love that Jesus says here in verse 20, have faith in God. And this helps me so much because it's way easier for me to have faith in God than it is to have faith in myself. It really is. I'm insecure. I've made mistakes. I've hurt people. I get confused. I get rattled. But God is perfect. He's created the universe. He knit me together in my mother's womb. I can put my faith in Him for sure. I can't put my faith in myself. Now, if I do it His way, maybe I can put a little bit more confidence in myself. But without God, we're nothing. Amen. So once we bank all of our prayers on the power of God and what He is capable of, only then are we able to act out on our faith in a way that is pleasing to God. Because faith without action is dead, right? And so that kind of leads us to our second point, which is action for Him. Action for Him. Turn over to James chapter 2. You might have guessed we were turning there. James chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 14. We're going to learn from the brother of Jesus here. You know, we kind of learned from Jesus on faith. Now we're looking at his brother. And, you know, this is a very convicting passage. But it's probably the passage if we're talking about faith and living it out. So let's read here, starting in verse 14. He says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend.' You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." You know, we all are pretty familiar with this passage. But I don't know about you, every time I read it, it kind of sends a shiver down my spine in a healthy way, right? In a healthy wake-up call. You know, verse 17, let's look here. He says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead, right? Meaning, faith always needs to lead to an action,
right?
If I really believe that God can do something, my actions are going to show it, right? And I know there's been a lot of times in my life where I'll feel like, man, I prayed that prayer for this person or for this situation or for something for me personally. And I feel like, man, I really believe what I just prayed. And a couple months go by, and I'm like, what's going on, God? And then I've had to learn to have these moments of, oh, well, Mark, if you prayed that you were going to meet a new open guy on campus, you probably need to go live like you are going to meet that guy. You probably need to open your mouth, right? And I mean, it's a simple thing, you know, but it's like, God, I pray to resolve this conflict. And just kind of wait for the person to come to you. That's probably not the best way to go about it, right? It's, God, I believe you can resolve this. Help me do this with you, right? And your actions follow it, right? You know, verse 18, he says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. That's how we show the world that we're Christians.
Yeah.
We do things that no one else does, right? We do things that don't make sense. I mean, when you read Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, a lot of it just doesn't make sense. I mean, Noah building this ark, it's hot, there's no rain, there's no sign of it, and he's slaving away at this thing, and that doesn't make sense, right? Sometimes faith, logically, it just does not make sense to the world. But is your life showing that? Do you make too much sense to people? Are you just kind of going with the flow of everyone else? Or does your life kind of confuse people? I mean, we're following Jesus. He never sinned or hurt anybody, but we still killed him because he was so different. I mean, we have sin, so yeah, maybe people want to kill us for our sin sometimes or have some bitterness going on, but we should be different because Jesus was different. And he wasn't different just because, oh, I want to be the different one. He was a man of faith. Faith was why he was different, amen? So when we have faith in him, it will lead us to have actions for him. Not to lift up ourselves or how spiritual or great we are, but to lift up God and how faithful he is to us. Amen? Anything we do, it must be all about God. Our lives are just one big thank you to God. We're living sacrifices, right? Like Paul writes about, holy and pleasing to God, not for people, but pleasing to God. That every righteous act that God gives us the privilege to do, that it's for him. It's for him directly. You know, maybe that's being patient with somebody. We got to remember, man, I'm being patient with this person for God right now. To give him glory, right? Not to look good to my other brothers or sisters, but to give God glory. Maybe it's forgiving someone that it's been hard to forgive. You got to think, I'm forgiving this person for him. This is for God because God's forgiving me. You know, maybe it's serving the poor. I'm not serving this person to kind of fill up my, I don't know, that I feel good about myself, but I'm serving this person for God. I'm treating this person like this is Jesus I'm serving right now. Amen? It's all for him. It's all to bring him honor. It's about not just looking the part or it's not even about winning God's favor. You know, we don't act on our faith to be found worthy by God or to find approval. No, we act on our faith because God has already deemed us worthy to die for, right? That's what we see in the narrative of the Bible. It's, man, he said, you're worthy of my son's blood. I have faith in you, so you should be faithful to me, right? We shouldn't do these things to win God over. Oh, God likes me more today. I was patient. No, he loves you. But because he loves you unconditionally, you should be faithful. You should please him. Amen? You know, faith is why we're here this morning. We're here today because God has had faith in us since the beginning, which makes no sense because we've let God down time and time again, haven't we? We've broken our covenant with him. We've broken our trust in him. And yet God has never given up on us, church. He's never given up on you. God has always had faith in us human beings, us sinners, to be his ambassadors to a lost world. if God can stay faithful to us who are imperfect, then we can certainly stay faithful to Him who is perfect. Right. Amen? Yeah. We got to be inspired by our God. Man, God, you're still believing in me? I blew it the other day. He's like, I'm still believing in you. I'm still calling you to change the world. Amen? He will never let us down. So if God can have faith in us, then surely we can have faith in Him. And our faith manifests itself in bold actions for Him. Getting out of the boat. Right? Getting out of our comfort zones and walking on water because He believes you can. God believes in you. You know, keep it simple. The greater the faith, the greater the action. The lesser the faith, the lesser the action. And just to be frank, if you're not acting, then you don't truly have faith in God. That's sobering to think about, right? I think we like to think, no, I got faith going on. I was at church Sunday. And God's saying, well, show me your actions. Show me what you're doing. We must not try to convince ourselves that we have faith if our actions aren't showing it, church. Because He says, without faith, faith without deeds is useless. It's dead. It doesn't change the world around you. It doesn't get people's attention again or make them ask you why you live the way you do. But you know what's interesting is that these same reasons we brought up in point one, these faith blockers, right? These same things, if we look at them the right way, they can actually build our faith. Amen. We can look to the past and also get our faith built. And we might not have seen it done in our lives before, but we've seen God do it in Scripture, right? And so what we're going to do now, Hannah's going to come back up, and we're going to talk about these same three things, but how we can look at them on the flip side to help us overcome these faith blockers. Amen?
Come on, Hannah.
All right, so when I was thinking about just the past and the different things that were blocking my faith, I thought about this time. I was a sophomore in college, and I was sitting on my couch, and I was listening to this sermon because someone told me to listen to it for, like, different reasons, but I think they were seeing that there was something going on with my faith, and I wasn't really believing in God and what He could do. And so I was reading about, or I was listening to this sermon, and the guy who was speaking was talking about just how we have to remember what God has done and remember the past blessings that have happened in our life. And he challenged me, because I was listening to it, and whoever else was listening to it, but for us to remember the story of David. And how before he defeated Goliath, he was spending time remembering what happened when he was defeating the lion and the bear, and how David was carrying that with him, and he used the analogy of carrying stones and like holding on to what God has done, and that is what helped him defeat Goliath. And then he challenged to, like, okay, remember your stones. What are the things that you're holding on to? And what are you remembering? And I was sitting there. I was like, I can't think of anything. I don't know. I can't hold on to anything. And I just felt really challenged. And one of the things that he encouraged to remember was that number one on the top of the list can be your own conversion, like what God has done in your life. And the scripture that reminds me of that is in Psalm 106, verse 21 to 22. It says, "They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea." And it's crazy because this actually talks about, like, God who saved me. But then also, it was mentioning all these things that God has done before, like in the past, and then how God had the power. I'm like, this scripture literally just talks about all the things that we're blocking or can block our faith, and it reminds us to do the opposite of that. Remember that God saved me, and He did all these other things, so He has done these things before, and that He has the power. And I constantly have to remember my own story and how crazy it is that I can be a Christian. Like when I think about what I was before I was a Christian and how if God could save me, he can save anyone. And that is just such a thing that I know I need to hold on to constantly. And I know that no matter what, if I can't fit any other stones in my hand, like that one is big enough for me to like do anything with. And but I do. I have other stones. In the time, I couldn't really think of many, but I was like, you cannot leave here and not think of things that God has done. So there were things that I held on to. They were maybe like little pebbles, but I was trying to hold on to my faith. But now I think that really changed my mindset and thinking about, I want big stones to hold on to. So I'm going to pray those big prayers, and I'm going to ask God to do these big things in my life. And so I had this vision board that I was trying to do, and I would put on things like that I would persistently be praying about. And some of the things on that list were that I wanted one of my roommates to become a Christian. I was praying for a best friend at the time. I was praying for someone to become a Christian in the ROTC department. I was praying for someone at Seton Hall to become a Christian, and I was praying that they'd be a leader. And God did that. He answered all those prayers in my best friend, Abby Sloan. Some of you guys may know her. But that is something that I'm just never going to let go. I think that's going to be one of my biggest stones forever. And so it's easy for me to focus on all the things that God hasn't done. But when I take time to remember all that he has done, I'm humbled and reminded that God is faithful. And and even though it's not a maybe automatic answered prayer, it does have to be a persistent prayer sometimes. And when I think about the stones, all the answered prayers, and all the things that I see in the scriptures that God has done, I get to fight through those doubts and the self-reliant reasons why I think God can't do anything. And I get to live a life that is led by faith.
Amen. Thank you, Hannah. Come on. So we're going to close out our second point here. And, you know, I just want to share a stone of mine, something that I've had to hold on to that's really increased my faith. You know, last spring, I was just praying to God. God, I pray that I can meet an international student that can become my brother in Christ. You know, and I was at William Patterson and just praying, God, please give me somebody. And honestly, I forgot that I was praying that prayer a couple weeks later, you know. But I did pray it. And a couple weeks later, I met this very tall Dutch man from the Netherlands named Daniel van Haren. And he, you know, kind of stuck out like a sore thumb in the William Patterson Student Center. Not a lot of people look like this guy or as tall as him. But I didn't know he was foreign. Until I started talking to him, hear his accent. So, you know, I kind of asked him, hey, you know, we're doing some Bible discussions. And, you know, he said, yeah, I'm new here to the school, but, you know, I'm part of a group at home. And long story short, we started studying the Bible. And as we started doing the first couple Bible studies, I was like, Rob, Matt, I prayed about this. I prayed for an international guy. This is happening, right? And it kind of hit me. And it would have been cooler if it was like when I met him, dude, I've been praying for you. That would have been maybe a little better, but I told him 2 weeks later, and he was still really encouraged by that. But so we study the Bible, but man, and he would be fine with me sharing this with you, but he was one of the hardest guys I've ever tried to help follow Jesus. I mean, every study took, it's kind of like, do the study, 3 weeks later, he gets, okay, here we go, now we're doing it, right? And Rob and I were just like, we had to help each other love him and be patient. And, you know, because he's grown up outside of Amsterdam in the Netherlands. It's culture shock, right? Being here, we're just trying to be a friend, taking it slow. Just really trying to show him, hey, we love you, man. And, but he decided, you know, last spring to make Jesus Lord. We baptized him in the river by Rob's house. It was so faith building. And his other friends that were also Dutch came, who were also foreign exchange students, they were there at the baptism and had Daniel's family on Skype. And his family's watching him get baptized in this river. And it just built my faith. And so the story doesn't end there because we had the opportunity actually recently to go visit Daniel in the Netherlands. Me and Rob went and we got to visit the church there in Amsterdam. And I just want to kind of give you this picture. I mean, you meet this random guy from another country in your college student center, and then a couple months later you're flying to the Netherlands to have dinner with his family and sleep over at his house. And you're just sitting there like, what is my life? Like, where else does this happen, you know? His parents were pretty confused, for sure. And they were like, so, yeah, Daniel talks about you guys all the time. But it was just so faith-building. I'm like, why don't I pray more prayers like that, right? And that Sunday, his parents came to church for the first time. And they stayed for almost 2 hours after fellowshipping, meeting disciples. And I got to kind of sit behind them. They were sitting together. I'm watching Rob preach, him with his family, in Amsterdam. Like, God is real. God hears our prayers. And it's not because we're so great. It's because he's so great. And so I have to hold on to that stone. I have to hold on to that story because I could forget it. I could forget that. Not 10 years from now, I could just forget it in the upcoming week. And I could be in a study with somebody or having a conversation and forget what God has already done. You know, Isaiah 46, verse 9, you don't have to turn there, but in the ESV, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." Amen. That word "remember" is all over the Bible, yeah. Right? We know that. But this is a story that I need to remember so I can have faith in action. You know, we can easily forget what God has already done in our lives, right? I mean, the enemy does not want us to remember what God has done in his word or in our lives, because he knows it's the power, it's the access to faith. Because he knows, Satan knows, that if we take the time to remember what he's already done, then we will find faith that he can do anything we ask. You know, we need to say to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith," right? Just like we read about, "Help us be more faithful in you, God." We need to remember past blessings, right? David defeated the lion and the bear before he defeated Goliath. That's how he could do that. You know, it says, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear," right? And so his thinking is, if the Lord has rescued me from the lion and the bear, then he will give me victory over Goliath. Victories of the past are stepping stones towards greater victories in the future. But are you remembering these victories? Is that what's going on in your mind? It's easy to remember the defeats, but it's so difficult to remember the victories of our faith, even though there's so many, right? I mean, if we took the time, we could list out all these victories, but we got to get better at remembering past blessings and victories instead of holding on to our failures and the things that Satan wants us to hold on to. Because God, he wants us to hold on to those miracles. Yeah. Hold on to those victories. You know, put a picture up in your living room of what that victory was, or something that's written out on your fridge, I don't know. But that there's these ways we can be reminded of all of these that God's done to prove his faithfulness to us. And so I just want to ask you that as we close out. What are your greatest spiritual victories in your life? What are those for you? You all have miracles that you could name and think about. We just got to take time to write those down, amen, and think about what those are. And so I want to give you guys a personal assignment and a D group assignment. Is that okay with you guys? You guys like getting practical, you know? So here's my personal assignment to you guys. This is not homework. I use the word assignment for a reason, okay? So I'm happy that I'm done with homework for now. Personal assignment: write down this week in your quiet time in a journal, write down your 5 miracle stories that will increase your faith. And think about it. Think of those 5, your 5 stones. You guys think you can do that this week?
Yes.
And honestly, it's probably going to be really fun. You might have way more than 5, but maybe just start there. And with your life team or with your D group or people in your life, get together and share those stories with each other. Share them with one another in a group and inspire one another with what God's already done. And once you share those, then ask each other, hey, what do we want to see him do now? Mm-hmm. Through us, through this D group, through us in this community. in this church and talk about what are the next miracles, amen, that I want to see God do. And so we hope that this morning this was inspiring for your faith, that this was some stuff to chew on, you know, and this is things that I'm working on personally as well. We hope this was meaningful and helpful for you in your faith. So let's strive to put our faith in Him and Him alone, and to step out on faith and have actions for Him this week and for the rest of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.